Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few radio networks that explores solutions to issues concerning the Black community. Present Black of America. All you people that listen by laptops, if you have a question or a comment, you may dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. The lineup is on Tuesday. We have Black Girl of America. I'm your host. My name is Kenny Jones. On Thursday, we have Paula Harlem by Mr. Wayne A. Young. And on Saturday, we have Provocative Thought by Cough to Sneeze. All shows begin at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My guest has not arrived yet, and I'm going to see what's going on, so I'm going to play a little
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.
Our guest is here, so let me go into the introduction of the guest. What was our historical relationship with Native Americans / First Nation tribes? When we ran away from slavery, we were taken in by the First Nations. How did Africans function in the 5 civilized tribes? To discuss our ancestries in the 5 civilized tribes, we have the genealogist, Miss Robin Ewing, or Ewing. How you like to pronounce your last name pronounced, Ewing? Or Huey?
It's Huey, yes. It's Huey.
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 Well,
Huey, like the D and the H is silent. So,
okay.
Daughter or though.
Welcome to Black Girl of America. I appreciate you coming on the show, Miss Huey.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Let's get right into it. Who are the Freemen?
The Freemen descendants. I am a descendant of people that were formerly Africans or mixed Africans of mixed ancestry that were enslaved by the 5 civilized tribes. The 5 civilized tribes, they took on what they considered them civilized because they practiced chattel slavery and they changed their religions from more of a spiritual holistic thing to more traditional Christianity like Europeans and colonizers. So, and the 5 civilized tribes are the Cherokee Nation, which there's three bands of Cherokees that are federally recognized, the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, the Eastern Band in North Carolina, and the Ketawankam, I have a hard time pronouncing it, it's also in Oklahoma of Cherokee Nations. And also, but those other two tribes didn't practice chattel slavery that I'm aware of. But the Cherokee Nation, that is one of the biggest populated or citizen enrolled tribes in the United States, did practice this, along with the Chickasaw Nation, which is headquartered in southern Oklahoma, and also the Choctaw Nation, the Seminole Nation, and the Creek Nation, all enslaved African Americans and practiced chattel slavery.
Later on, I'm going to ask you some questions about the enslavement of the Africans in these tribal nations. What is a freeman's citizenship?
Freeman citizenship, as of right now, there is only, of the five civilized tribes, there's only one freeman citizenship available, and that's to the Cherokee freedmen. If you have an ancestor that made the Dawes roll and got a Dawes number, and so they're able, if you can trace your ancestry and the nation agrees, then you get to be a citizen of the Cherokee Nation as a freedman. The Cherokee is the only one that does that.
All right, before you go into that, what is the Dawes roll?
The Dawes roll was for people of the five civilized tribes, their citizens, and the people that they were enslaved to get land allotments. The Dawes is, people always think it's about citizenship, so they just use that list of names to give out citizenship. But the Dawes Commission itself was started to give out parcels of land. So it's not like everybody thinks like freedmen got it as reparations. No, it was because they were citizens of that nation and recognized as citizens of that nation at that time to get a land allotment. But here's the thing. If you are put on the by blood roll, depending on what tribe that you are enslaved by or a part of as a freedman, you didn't get as much land as the by blood citizen. So,
now,
the, like,
you said there's only one tribe out of five
tribes that offered.
Okay, well, I'm going to have a question 1A and 1B because something just popped in. Now I'm going off script. Out of five tribes. Let me get this right now.
Out of five.
Only one tribe out of five offers citizenship. And basically what citizenship is.
Well, let me correct that.
Okay.
There's two. The Seminole Nation offers citizenship, but they don't
that's
have any
one
benefits.
That's
like they only use it.
That's the one in Florida. That's the one in Florida. The Seminole.
No, the Seminole Nation, they started out in Seminole, but they're headquartered in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. I thought the Seminoles was from Florida. Okay.
They still have bands and people who practice Seminole as part of being of their heritage, because that's where the Seminoles' homelands are in Florida before it's colonized, and you know what I'm saying? And they're removed and forced to go to Oklahoma. No, but the Seminole Nation itself, the one that's federally recognized as a tribe, is headquartered in Oklahoma.
Okay. Now, there's only five. Why they call civilized? Why they call five civilized tribes? It is only five Indian tribes. That's where I got a little thrown off. Why is only five?
Well,
Indian nation in this country, only five were civilized. I don't know.
Let me start off. In the United States, the federal government, I haven't looked it up in a while, because I know about a year or two ago, the federal government inducted to like the Arapaho, which out of Virginia and another couple more tribes. So I think they brought the total up to 76 or 74 federally recognized tribes, saying that they are federally recognized, and there's several tribes in between there that have that are state like state recognized. So it's not very complicated once you know the history, but it still has some complications to it. So there's over 500 federally recognized tribes, almost 600. But the five civilized tribes, like I said before, they're to become civilized is because they practice more of their Western European standards, and they started to marry Western European.
I got you. You're not civilized.
Like chattel slavery and religion,
You're not civilized until you assimilate to the European style way of living.
Well, they practiced chattel slavery and they started to change their religion, their clothing.
I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that in about 15, 20 minutes. Just bear with me. Did all of the tribes have Africans? About 5 years ago, 10 years, I read a book, and it was saying that almost every Indian nation or tribe had Africans in it. Matter of fact, there were Africans running the nation in some of the... Is that true?
There is no proof of any of that. You know, I know Hotep stuff likes to try to incorporate they were indigenous people to here, but that's literally not the truth.
This is what I always believed, right? That when we ran away from the plantation, the Indians were the only one, that opened their doors to us and hid us, and we lived among them, married them, and what have you.
Herein lies what's really true and what is myth.
Okay.
Some tribes did. This is for black people, and this is so unfortunate that I.
Well, that's why I have you on the show to educate us.
That's not true. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the truth. These are people, when they realize that they're on the bad receiving end of the part, they start to quickly turn us in and be slave traders and slave, slaves that have run slaves and turn us in for money. Because remember, they're all at the same time that we're being incorporated into America, they're being taken advantage of, being killed numerously, and a lot of stuff. So they're trying to fit in and get their stuff too. And I'm not taking away, I mean, because it's very complicated. Because myself, I am part Native American through slavery. That's nothing to be proud of, but I'm also part European through slavery. So I can't take
you
that away. When I talk about these things.
I'm all African.
I am not. I'm not going to lie. Genealogy and genetic genealogy. I am not, and none of my family is. I come from a mixed background. And because I'm a freedman descendant, I'm also part Native American through slavery. So I'm saying all this to say that people have romanced indigenous people here in America. And it's not the truth, especially black people. People, like, you look at my aunt, my grandmother had that long straight hair. That's probably European DNA. Black people have high cheekbones. Africans have high cheekbones. People have romance and stuff.
Especially
in
Eastern Africa. Especially Eastern Africa and Southern Eastern.
Right.
Africa.
So we have romance
in the
thinking that we were.
And they
welcomed us with open arms. That's not the truth. And not only did the five civilized, they weren't the only ones. There's been documentation of tribes like the Arapaho and stuff like that. They still kept slavery on after we are emancipated. So even with the indigenous tribes, we were enslaved in Indian territory longer than we.
When I read that, I'm going to get to it in a few minutes. When I read that, my mouth dropped to the floor because I was believing.
I don't know why, because you have romance and falling victim to the narrative. You have, and I'm not here to be trying to, I don't want to paint a picture of being racist either, but they really don't care for us, especially people of my descent who are showing that we were raped and pillaged just like our colonization cousins, the Native Americans did the same thing to their African slaves.
How did that
This is the tribe that I'm a part of.
How did that narrative, do you know how did that narrative started?
Well, let me tell you, let me say this. People were ashamed of slavery. African Americans mm-hmm. are still so traumatized. Like there's the whole book written about post slave so strict that we have incorporated a narrative that we are part indigenous. You are indigenous to the African continent. Let's just get that out the thing. There is black people have created all this crazy in their head and try to pass it along like it's the right thing, and it's not, because we still have traumatization from slavery, unfortunately. And I really don't know how to change that narrative, because I'm a registered nurse and by trade, and I do family history and with my community, and I'm a local historian.
Yeah, you call
yourself
a stupid genealogy.
Because once I got in,
you know what, Sister Yuri? Black folks in America do suffer as a collective from post-traumatic slave syndrome. Yes, we do. And that should be in the DMS-5, in the Diagnostic Statistics Manual on psychiatric care. We should be tested for that if they have a testing model, which I doubt, and we should be treated for that, because other than it comes from comes depression, it comes what word am I looking at? Multi-generational drama, you know, it's along the line of PTSD.
It really is, but you know, not all of us suffer from that. So I say that to say, because I get accused of being a little insensitive when it comes, because I want to make this a normal thing to talk about slavery and not feel like I'm a victim of it, or from my, I've never been a slave, but my ancestors, I come from enslaved people, you know,
right.
It's a narrative to change the, we all do. So you can't,
black folks in America,
you should not feel ashamed.
That's part of my history.
You should not feel ashamed that you are kidnapped African living in Americas. You know what I'm saying? Like you didn't. Our shared ancestors of those, because every average black person in America is a 25% white person. You say you're not, but the average person according to ancestry is about 25%.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, a lot of our sisters were raped on the plantation. Yes, of course.
From the time they pick you up
over the
West Coast Africa to the time they. So, and it's not hard to trace because it's not that far back. People act like slavery was a long time ago. It was not that far back. It's not.
But also,
it's
you
easy
stayed
traceable,
enslaved
huh?
for hundreds of years. It's not like it was a 5-year thing, a 10-year thing. It was close to 500 years. You stayed enslaved for a long time. From the 1600s all the way up to the 1865. Yeah. 1865. Right. That's 200 years. You know, and we've been enslaved for a couple of hundred. So, and even today, we are psychologically and emotionally enslaved because we don't want to recognize our true history. And that's one question I wanted to ask earlier. But I was going to ask, I might as well ask it now, since we on it. Is it hard? Has it been difficult to educate the public about the history and the culture of being enslaved in the five tribe nations?
Of course the people. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Has it been difficult?
It's been difficult for the simple fact is people romanticize the Native American ancestry, so they envision that from the myth and that actually told to your family that, oh, you know, your grandma with the long dark hair and the light skin and the high cheekbones. She was parched, and it's always Cherokee. I feel so sorry for the Cherokee people because literally everybody in their mama's a Cherokee. I don't know how that could be. Like I said, it's over five, almost 600 tribes. So, but they're always Blackfoot. If somebody tell you they part Cherokee and a Blackfoot, go to me because they just literally they just made up some stuff.
And then there's only five civilized tribes. It's only five civilized tribes.
Well, I told you they call them civilized because they took on colonization and practiced chattel slavery.
Right. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
But there were other tribes, like the Arapaho and other tribes like that. They were even practiced longer, like almost to 1870 when they had to go into because each tribe, the federal government just ruled last year, the year before, I can't remember, called the McGirt decision that there is so much for me to tell about all
go
of
ahead.
This, for the simple
go
fact
ahead.
Of how complicated it is how complicated
time,
it is,
sister,
you know.
And go for it. Take your time and go for it. I'm going to sit back and listen. You just keep going.
Well, first of all, you know, the removal of the five civilized tribes from their homeland, it's mostly from the tribes that I know for sure that I'm associated with, the Chickasaw and the Choctaw, come from Mississippi and Alabama. So it all...
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It starts with the removal of Andrew Jackson declared war on Native Americans. He did not like them. He didn't want many parts of them. And he every treaty, that's why they always say that they have broke every treaty that they had. They broke with Native Americans, and they still infringed on them. So just last year, most of these tribes are moved in the early 1800s, like 1820s, 1830s. With Indian Territory until Oklahoma becomes a state, and then they're given a sovereign nation within the boundaries of that. If you look up sovereign in the dictionary, what they define as a sovereign nation within the boundaries, it's complicated, right? So the Native American tribes are literally like a nation within, and they're like literally nations within the nation. Do you get that? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know how.
I know what you mean by nation within a nation.
So they're supposed to be under their own rule, right? But you're using my. I don't even want to go into that about how they're using my tax dollars to pay for all this. But so they're supposed to be their own sovereign nations and go about. And just last year, but what happened was after the removal, and the population had been decimated, and they were literally tried to, you know, they want to they want to save the Indian and get rid of the savage part of them or whatever, and try to make them into. So, you know, they put them into schools and they abused their children even more and cut off their hair and made them stop talking, gave them English names and all this stuff, right? So they did all this stuff to Native Americans. After they become, and then they disenfranchised the heads of their tribes, like chiefs and stuff. They disenfranchised and they gave them, because usually on their communal lands, like reservations, right? So, but then the Dawes Commission came in and gave each person as a citizen of the nation a parcel of land. So that's what the five civilized tribes did after the removal from, like I said, for the tribes, I'm associated with, I'm a Choctaw freedman and a Chickasaw freedman. So they're associated and they come to Indian Territory, which is present-day Oklahoma, and they're given a parcel of land, but like I said, they take a way that the heads of the people in the tribes, and they try to incorporate them into just like being American standards and not practice all their stuff. So that for a period of time, that most of these five civilized tribes, they are disenfranchised. So they restarted under different rules and regulations when they start to fight for their rights again. And they start to, in their, as a five civilized tribe, they get back on board and they put back of like chiefs, or like for the like I said, my for the Choctaw, they have a chief, and then for the Chickasaw, they have a, they have to call a governor. He don't call him a chief. They call him a governor of the Chickasaw Nation.
Right.
And they call, but they do call Gary Banton the chief of the Choctaw Nation. So under all the saying all that, so they started to do all those things and get reincorporated, but they were different enfranchised. So like literally the Choctaw, and even now if you go at first before the McGirt decision last year, you, when you went on to Google Maps and looked at it, you didn't see the borders of those five civilized tribes driven. But if you go on Google Maps now, you see that each nation is outlined on Google Maps and recognized where the Google, where still a nation within a nation. Even though each person has a parcel of land, it's not, and they're not like typical reservations. Like if you went to the Lakotas, they're like, Lakotas don't even have streets and bathrooms and some houses. I say all this to you. I don't want to it's a balance, because not all Native Americans are bad or not all of them are good, but you know, but there's still a disenfranchised piece, depending on which tribe that you talk to or are a member of. And even like, for the five civilized tribes, a lot of those people were rich. Like, I mean, the Chickasaw alone.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you.
They were rich, you know what I'm saying? The
question popped in my mind. The five civilized tribe, the one that accepted the European style of living, are better off, not better off, but they have their living better than the ones that did not accept. They still call their heads chiefs and what have you, the nation within the nation, on what you call the reservation, like the Dakotas. I was going to ask you that. They probably live it better because they accepted the Eurocentric style of living, where the other nations, the other Native Americans, probably still have a difficulty accepting the way folks accepting the European way of living. We have a caller. Hold up, let's bring this. We have a caller. 2646. Welcome to Black Girl of America. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for Ms. Huey?
Yes. Hi. Yeah, fine. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to call. I'm glad that you brought on Robin. I happen to know a little bit about Robin's family. This is Angela, Robin, calling in. And pleased that you're having this. Hello. I'm pleased that you're having this discussion about the five tribes. I'm a descendant of Choctaw freedmen, and have written, and I have a blog about the freedmen, and I'm a member of the Choctaw Chickasaw Freedmen Association. And I wanted to thank you, the host, for bringing up this topic. I've been researching freedmen as a descendant of Choctaw freedmen for 30 years, to be exact, because I first started researching Oklahoma Freedmen in 1991. That was 30 years ago. And so I wanted to thank you for that.
So you have a lot of information on this topic. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I asked Ms. Huey this, and let me ask you this. What is your perception? I told her, like, I was hoping. I thought like the Native Americans and the Africans was like homies. peace and everything, and they were cool. They remarried each other. They accepted us and all that. And I was wrong. I was hoodwinked. I was led astray. How did that narrative start? To your perception, how did that narrative start? Have a whole culture believe that we was cool with a whole nother culture historically?
I think what has happened is that some individuals have taken a paintbrush and discussed what happened with one group of people in Florida, and they've painted a huge brush over all 574 federally recognized tribes. We're talking five out of 574 nations that practice enslavement, but what happened in Florida with Seminoles was certainly a unique situation. And definitely there was some camaraderie, but the idea that, oh, they took us in and, oh, we married all of them. Well, four out of those five tribes, in fact, even after slavery ended with the Treaty of 1866, they made it a felony to marry anyone of the quote-unquote Negro race. So, I mean, these are people who, as Robin explained, and I certainly agree, they were called that. They didn't call themselves civilized tribes. This is something that Europeans, white people, started calling
right,
them tribes
right,
because
right.
they started interacting with Europeans. They were being friendly to them. A lot of the leaders, even before the Civil War,
they assimilated
started marrying.
Very well. They assimilated very well.
That is correct. But as Southerners, because all of these five tribes were in the South, from Florida to Georgia to Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee,
Mississippi.
That's the South. And as Southerners, they embraced chattel slavery. Oh, you could have these big farms and have these people work for you. Not a bad idea. And, of course, the mixed blood leaders already knew what slavery was. And so by the time of the Trail of Tears, I'm sure you've heard about it, they took enslaved people with them. Almost 1,000 people were taken enslaved with the Cherokees and their removal. Choctaws were the first ones to be removed, and slaves were taken. Not as many, but slaves were. But many people purchased slaves right before they left. Some purchased them along the way, and because they weren't walking all the way. Some traveled by wagon, and some did walk, of course, but horseback till they got to the Mississippi. They crossed the Mississippi in Vicksburg, and another group of Choctaws crossed the Mississippi at Memphis. They converged in Arkansas and then went on west into Indian territory. But the Chickasaws...
Like one of my slaveholders has a narrative in what they call the Pioneer Papers. It's a collective of where they interviewed people. Her name is Sarah Harlan. My grandmother was a Harlan, and the slave owner's name was Aaron Harlan. My grandmother was Joanne Harlan, and all her family were Harlans. But they have a narrative in where she talks about how they came on a steamboat down to the Gulf from Mississippi and went up into to like the Red River, right? And so I think that's where they drive a steamboat up there, but they're people.
That's correct. The Chickasaws
they came on steamboat. A lot of them didn't. A lot of them didn't come just on walking either. The more poor ones did, but the more
that's
richer
right.
ones that were slave owners. And there's only a small percentage, like they like to point out, because that's why they don't want to accept freedmen descendants. Like they like to point out that it's only a small percentage, but the tribe as a whole benefited from slavery. It got you a foothold off the labor of enslaved people to get to a footing to where you are today. And that's a fact. Like one of some of the richest families in North America, like the people who own the love stations, there's a whole bunch of loves that own part Chickasaw. There's like one of the third richest families in North America. Their money is coming from slavery. And so people, I'm not trying, because they're not the only ones, but this is our history, and people don't know this history. And,
I didn't know it until tonight.
Yeah, so you know.
I explained to the caller, I was led astray. So This is one thing I want to ask both of you. What's the difference between Freeman states and Freeman descendants? Gotcha, boy, seeing that in the readings.
Well, the freedmen are actually people who were enslaved, right? The former slaves of the nation. We are descendants of those people. We were never enslaved. So, even within, like, Angela has a by-blood family member, but those tribes, and I have by-blood family members also, but they come in through African women. So if you were part African and enslaved, no matter how native you were, because my third great grandmother is half Chickasaw, her slave owning folks are Jameses. Her last name is Linda James. So her father is a half mixed Chickasaw and white person of European descent, but both his parents his mother, so my great third great grandmother's on that line, is a full blooded Mississippi Choctaw, and his father, Davis or Dace James, is a half Chickasaw and half European. I have proof, you know, that they bought as slaves when they went on their removal from Mississippi. I found my fourth great grandfather's will where he named some Negroes that he left to his wife. I don't know if my third great grandmother's number, but I do know my third great grandmother's name, but I don't know her mother's name, but I do know who fathered her because of the DNA and all the matches that I have on that line. That show up still today, you know, in 2021. You know what I'm saying? Not just mine, but my children who were born in the early 2000s. So people act like slavery, like I said, was a long time ago, but it's leaving a legacy to be reckoned with and that we need to deal with across the board, just not for these tribes, but for the European part too. You know, like I've told Angela several times, the United States is like the only nation not to be formally apologize about the history of slavery and the part they played in. Every other country, like the United Kingdom, Canada, Belgium, Germany, they have all made formal apologies and decrees to address the issue.
And the United States
and the
Africans
Newsflash,
ladies. Newsflash, and the United States never will. I know we're not supposed to say never, but I'm going to jump out there. The United States would never apologize to our culture for enslaving our ancestors and creating black holes, burning down our towns, our productive towns, and the Jim Crows and the imprisonment. The large imprisonment just lately in the 90s into the 2000s. No, they're not going to apologize for that. Go ahead,
I wanted to answer your question. You said, what was the difference between a freedman and a freedman descendant? Which Robin pretty much said it. Obviously, those were freedmen. Which meant also freed women, of course. But these are people who were direct victims of enslavement. In other words, they were freed from being enslaved. So they were freed men, freed women. Descendants, we are obviously the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren of those people who were enslaved. Now, keep in mind that even if a child was born in 1885 or 1900, if the parents of those children had once been enslaved, the tribes themselves still referred to those people as freedmen, even though a child born in 1885 had never been enslaved. But it was basically just a term to call people who happened to be of African descent.
But that person that was born in 1885 or 1890, he's experienced Jim Crow, though. He got some weapons out there. He got some experiences that was almost slavery-like.
Well, of course. It is important, though, to understand one other aspect about freedmen from these five tribes. Many of them, as Robin said, some of them were fathered by Native American men. Yes, that's true. Same way in the United States. There were plenty of black folks who had been fathered by slave owners or overseers or what have you.
Of course. That's documented.
But the difference.
It's well documented among us because
individuals. The difference is that these individuals were not only biracial, and many were not, but all of them were bicultural. They were bilingual. Many of their family members were hired as interpreters because their mother tongue was Choctaw. Their mother tongue was Cherokee. Their mother tongue was Muscogee, their mother tongue. And so many were hired as interpreters because they had to know English and their native tongue. And they also were bicultural. Many of the people, I remember speaking back in 1995 with a cousin of mine living in McAllister, Oklahoma. And I remember asking her questions. She was the last person alive in our family whose name was on a Dawes card, on a Dawes roll. And I asked her, I said, well, Cousin Eva, did you ever eat any native foods, any Choctaw dishes? No, Grandma did, but I did not really. So then I asked the same question in a different way. I said, so you never ate pashofa? What you know about pashofa? Girl, I just had some last week. You never ate tafula? And she knew exactly what I was talking about. And she just smiled, but she always thought it was country food because that's what they eat down in the country. But she didn't know that the culture she had grown up with, because she had been now raised most of her life, had been spent now in segregated Oklahoma. She's just thinking this is what we eat. But all black people in America have never even heard of pashofa or tafula or some of the other traditional foods that she ate all the time. And our ancestors who were freed people, freed men, freed women, they made this. They ate this. They spoke the language. And so this is important. But it's not because somebody took them in and, treated them like they were brothers. No. You and I are speaking in English right now because we were born in an English-speaking country, because our ancestors were enslaved in an English-speaking country. Well, some of my ancestors were enslaved, and they talked to people. And that is why they had certain traditional customs, including the food ways of Choctaw people. And so it is important to understand that. But let's not romanticize it, just like Robin said. It's, my Indian brothers, and I'll say, hold it. When is the last time you heard a group of Native people saying, my black brothers and sisters, my African-American brothers and sisters? Now, there are some who may feel that way, but who publicly state that?
Probably in 1962, where the Black Panthers went on tour.
Maybe so, okay. But I'm very serious, though. But we don't hear that in Indian country. When President Obama made a trip to Oklahoma, there were tons of people down in the Choctaw Nation, all over Oklahoma, lining up, calling him the N-word, blessing him from the tribe. So understand that. So it's us wanting to believe that there's this love relationship. But those of us from the five slaveholding tribes particularly know that that's a totally different story. So, stop.
Citizenship. Explain the citizenship to me into these five tribes.
Or like I said before.
After the slavery. And know what else I read? When slavery supposedly ended in 1865, there was some of these tribes that still kept slavery going. Is that true?
That is true because it was 300 states. Those tribes were not part of the United States. They were five independent, sovereign nations. So that it not have to do with another nation on the globe does, even though they fought for the South in the Civil War. There were over 22 Confederate Native American regiments in the Civil War. They all fought to the South. There were three.
Say that number again, 22,000?
No, I said 22 regiments that were Confederate.
Regiments.
Now, regiments. You had the first, you had the second, Choctaw, Chickasaw, Mounted Rifles that were Confederate.
You said for the North or for the South? I want to be
the
perfectly
South.
For the South. They're Confederates. They're fighting for their slavery. They were slaves.
That was the Southern Army.
Wow.
Not the Union Army. They fought for the South. In 1861, at the beginning of the Civil War, all five tribes signed a treaty with the Confederate States of America. They wanted specifically, they could have cared less about states' rights because they were not a state. But they wanted to preserve the institution of slavery, period. They fought for the South. The Battle of Honey Springs, which occurred July 17, 1864, is the only battle from the Civil War in which Black, white, and Native Americans were fighting each other. And the largest contingency of Native Americans were fighting for the South. And the battle was won because the 1st Kansas Colored Regiment out of Kansas, which consisted of men from the Cherokee Nation and from the Creek Nation, they were in that battle. They had fled north into Kansas with Chief Apostolayahola, who wanted to just get out of the way of the war. And these Black men followed them. And then once they were in Kansas, Kansas was a free state. They found freedom, enlisted in the Union Army, and they fought in civil battles. They fought before the group out of Massachusetts was even formed. You know, the soldiers in the movie Glory. That the Kansas Colored existed as a Civil War regiment 2 years before the Massachusetts 54th was even organized. And they all were fighting U.S. colored troops later. Of course, the Kansas Colored, the Indian Home Guards, and all of those Confederate Indian regiments, meaning South. Okay, they fought for the South. But all these other soldiers, these Black soldiers from the Kansas Colored, they were fighting for the North. The United States colored troops, they were fighting for the North. And they were fighting against the Indians who were fighting against the South, who were fighting for the South against those Black soldiers.
I have one more question for the show before I let y'all go. Where can an average person like myself get true, accurate information about the relationship between the African and the Native American?
Well, I have a website. It's called AfricanNativeAmerican.com. I've had that since 1997. And it's African and then dash NativeAmerican.com. And there are also other blogs. I have a blog that goes along with that website. And from that website, you can click on it. I know that Robin has a website. We also are active with the Choctaw Chickasaw Freedmen Association. The website for that is ccfanow.org. That is CC, standing for Choctaw Chickasaw, CCFA, meaning Freedmen Association, now.org.
Before
and
I go,
Robin is
before
the Super Genealogy.
How is the relationship now, today? You just a minute ago
explained
how Barack went to Oklahoma. They'll call him all kinds of names. You know, how is the relationship today?
It's strange. It's very troubled. It's very strange. But the simple fact is, since the Cherokee got their citizenship revoked and put back in place by court order in 2017, the Cherokee freedmen. The other freedmen, because each tribe stands on its own as a sovereign nation, so each tribe has to be addressed differently in different reasons. Like even the chief of the Choctaw recently, earlier this year, because Maxine Waters got involved to try to remove the federal part of their housing department from that because they're not honoring their treaties and their
being racist. Yes, they was going to hold back $33 million, right? They was going to hold back $33 million.
Right. They were going to go with literally... I'm in a lot of Facebook groups on that address like Native for the tribe that I'm associated with it, and they say some of the most racist, horrible stuff you cannot believe. And I'm not, we're not talking about. I literally got accused of trying to better my race by claiming my Native part of my ancestry by wanting citizenship. So it's a strange. And strained, I mean that, because they look at us, some of them, not all of them, but the ones that are very vocal about it, because this one particular group of people went to, when the chief put out like a newsletter from the nation that he might consider treatment for the Choctaw, they publicly went to Durant, Oklahoma, and spoke against it, several of them, not just, and so... It's estranged and strained. I would say that, and it's not like these people don't. It's not like they don't have black people enrolled and as by blood citizens. It's not like they don't have that, but then the freedmen descendants they don't want that. That's enough. If you marry one like yourself and you come through a for sure by blood citizens, but a lot of us come through by blood citizens. And were denied citizenship early on, because you know, like this is a bit for the Chickasaw Nation, it's a difference from what is it, Angela? 320 acres that the Dawes Commission got out. If you were a by blood citizen, if you got maybe got
wow.
20 or 40 acres, huh?
No, we got
of land.
40. Yeah. That is correct. Our ancestors got 40 acres of land, and someone might say, "Oh, that's pretty good." So if it's a family of 10 people in a family, wow, oh my gosh, and everybody gets, that's 400 acres of land. Yes, but take another family that's on the blood roll or a family of intermarried whites, maybe whites who had children by a previous spouse who was also white. They were put on the blood roll and got 8 times more. Each of them got 320 acres of land. And so the freedmen had 1/8 of the opportunity of generating or establishing generational wealth for their family and for their children than those who were white or native. That's in the Choctaw and Chickasaw Nation. Now, in the Muscogee Nation, in the Cherokee Nation, in the Seminole Nation, everybody got the same freedmen or people who were classified by blood. One thing to emphasize, I know Robin's already pointed that out, there were plenty of freedmen who were even half Native because they had an Indian father. But they kind of got around that by saying, oh, but your status follows your mother. So someone went into the quarters and you know, had relations, whether consensual or not, with an enslaved woman, had children because they were born of a woman who had been a slave. They were now that, oh, but your mother was a slave. Nope, 40 acres for you. Not 320, which is, in other words, they were punishing people for having been born of a poor enslaved woman. And that's the policy. And so, you know, and of course, the danger, I guess, or the lesson, I'll put it this way, is that a lot of times we, quote unquote, learn history through people say, just like the Hoteps are making up all this stuff, and well, the real Indians are really black people, and we're not from Africa. Oh, I heard that we're not really from Africa. I heard we've been here for 10,000 years.
Oh, I know I'm from Africa. I know. I know.
No,
about
you know, I mean,
from Africa. West
people
part of Nigeria. Western Nigeria.
And it's denial. It's denial of oneself. And that's still a leftover of, you know, the post-traumatic slavery syndrome. So
we just got finished talking about that. And we all suffer from that.
Yep.
Well, ladies, I just want to thank you. It has been very enlightening. You have opened my eyes. Usually when I have guests on, I already know what they talk about. I experienced it. But I mean, my it's like I was very quiet. I'm taking notes, and I'm gonna start looking up this stuff because I hate being led astray and being bamboozled. And I want to thank you, sisters, for taking the time out of your schedule and coming on my show, Black Urban America. And I thank you guys. I mean,
well,
I thank
you. You're very much welcome. Thanks for having us.
Okay. All right, folks, that's another week. Yes, I know a lot of you are jaw-dropping, and a lot of you might be not believing. But look up this information, follow up on this, do your own research, and I know, because you know the United States well as I do, it's easy to follow the European way, that your own cultural way. Well, folks, that's another week. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Y'all have a good week.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.